If you've looked in to the newsletter, you will see that our thoughts and our attention are heading towards a theme about knowing God's will for our lives. And no matter the circumstances that we find ourselves in, no matter the season of life, whether we're in a season of life of where I guess we're facing some big challenges, no matter our age, as we go through those times in our living, there's always an opportunity to know God's will for our lives. And so that's where we're going to contemplate for a few moments this morning. Perhaps you've seen a movie scene or a television scene where the person finds themselves in a church and they're sitting down in a pew all by themselves, wanting to know God's will for the circumstance that is before him, before them. Often the scene might be that they're sitting alone in the church praying and hoping that there would be some divine guidance about the situation that confronts them. You may have found yourself in a situation where you're in that significant moment in your life and you want to know exactly what God's will is for you in the season that you find yourself in. The scriptures remind us that God does provide wisdom for us to seek after in the circumstances of our living so that we can discover God's will for us. Scriptures like Proverbs 3, verses 4 and 5 that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." He will make your paths straight. God will clear the way, bring us to an understanding of his will in the circumstance that we find ourselves in. Again, there's a prayer of David's found in Psalm 25, and just a couple of verses there that say this to us: "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour and my hope is in you all day long." We can get an understanding from David's prayer here where he says, "Show me, teach me, guide me," that he wants to know God's will for the circumstances of his living, wants to live in a way that will reflect the influence of God in his life. And we get a sense of relationship there too when David says, "For you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long." Well, it's to David, to King David, that we turn our attention to this morning. As we heard the scripture read to us from 1 Chronicles there, 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and those 15 verses, so that we might learn something for ourselves in this moment of time that we find ourselves in. And we see that in the scripture that was read to us today, that he has it in his heart to build a temple for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. David has got that in his heart. And it seems like an honouring thing to do, but as we heard, as the word of God came to Nathan the prophet, that it's not God's will for David to do that thing. It's not God's will to do it. So to set the scene a bit for us this morning, the Ark of God, as some of the translations call it, or the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, has been brought up to Jerusalem. And if we were to look into Hebrews 9:4, we would know that the Ark contains the gold jar of manna, the manna that fed the people in their Exodus experience, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant, the testimony of God given to Moses for the people. And all of this has been brought up to Jerusalem. And if we were to go back a couple of chapters to 1 Chronicles 15, we read the contrast between David, who is constructing buildings in the city there in Jerusalem for himself, and yet the Ark of God, which to David's mind does not have a home, and in the New International Version simply says that he pitched a tent for it. That he pitched a tent for it. Could I suggest that we might believe that he followed through with all the measurements that were given about the pitching of a tent for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord that were given back in Exodus? But in David's heart, he feels that something is not right here. That all this, if you like, building is going on in Jerusalem. He's pulled together the tribes of Israel, And the ark of God that signifies the presence of God is still in a tent. If we journey quickly to chapter 16, there's a big celebration because the ark of God is in the city. And we can read this, that they brought the ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. After David had finished sacrificing burnt offerings, offerings about a devotion to God, fellowship offerings, thanksgiving offerings in effect, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave them a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. This was a big occasion. The presence of God is now there in the city with them. The ark of God is there. It's a big occasion. And then David has this conversation that we heard read to us this morning, right at the start of our reading. A conversation with Nathan the prophet that he wants to build a permanent temple, a permanent home, if you like, for the ark of God to live in. First of all, Nathan says to David, do it. Do it, for God is with you. But then God communicates with Nathan. The word of the Lord comes to Nathan that David is not the one to build the temple. And as we journey this morning, we'll see that David accepts God's will in this matter. And as we consider David's response to the situation, there are some principles I think that we can learn from this morning to encourage ourselves about knowing God's will and accepting God's will in the situations of life that confront us. Now, I'm not talking about the situations of life that confront us when we find ourselves in the shopping centre car park and my wife always says, how come you always get a car park and I don't? So I'm not talking about the fact that I go in and there's one there and Elaine drives around the car park for a bit longer and a bit longer and struggles to find the park. Not that. I'm talking about the things that are important in our living. So first of all, let me suggest that knowing God's will starts with relationship with God. So that may seem a simple principle for us to think about this morning. Knowing God's will starts with relationship with God. And we see in the word of God that comes to Nathan the prophet evidence of God's acknowledgement that there is a relationship between God and David. Just going to repeat some of the scriptures that we heard read so well to us this morning, because I think that as we have the scriptures reinforcing the story, the account, that it'll do us good. So from 1 Chronicles 17, 7 to 8, and this is from the NIV version, God speaking to Nathan the prophet says this, now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says, I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. Relationship is there, isn't it? I've been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name like the names of the greatest men on earth. And as we contemplate that this morning, we can see that there is relationship between God and David. And God acknowledges that there is this relationship there. And I think that as David was trying to work through the process of, this is a good thing for me to do, to build a home for the ark of God, that his relationship with God helps him accept God's will in this matter. That God has been with him through his time, from when he was a shepherd boy all the way through. If we just pause for a moment and consider David the shepherd boy, when the prophet Samuel is looking to anoint a king, we know that the kingship has been taken away from Saul because Saul was disobedient to God in his burning of sacrifices, didn't wait for the prophet Samuel to come. Then Saul finds himself at Jesse, David's father's place, and David is not there, and he's got brothers, and these brothers are big strapping fellows, and they bring them before the prophet Samuel to see if one of them is going to be the Lord's anointed king. And 1 Samuel 16:13 says this, and it speaks to David's relationship with God. That's why I bring it up this morning. So Samuel then took the horn of oil and anointed him, that's David, in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. The Spirit of the Lord was with David as he journeyed from being a shepherd boy to ruler. The Spirit of the Lord was with David every step of the way, from his trials with Saul, as Saul tried to kill him, saw him as a threat to his kingship, to his living amongst the Philistines, all the way to his reign over the tribe of Israel. And then I think it was 7 years later that then he ended up the king, the ruler of, I should say, the tribe of Judah, and then to being king over all the tribes of Israel. And we get a sense that other people recognised this relationship that David indeed had with God. From 2 Samuel 5, 1 and 2, we would read this. This is as the tribes have come, the tribes of Israel have come to speak to David at Hebron. And they say this: "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel and you will become their ruler.'" Just pause there a moment. They're recognising that God is speaking into the life of David. "And the Lord said to you." When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Friends, David can respond to the word of God as given to Nathan the prophet about this matter of building a temple, finding a home for the Ark of God. He can respond to that because he has had this relationship with God. And he can be confident that just as God has guided his life and God knows what is best, that David can accept that in this situation. Despite the fact that this appears to be a good thing for David to do, but God says, "You are not the one to do it." Friends, in our circumstances of life, we build relationships with people around us who are important to us. We make the effort to give of ourselves in those relationships, family and friends. And how we give of ourselves indicates their importance to us. My father died all the way back in the year of 1997, which is quite a while ago. But I've been blessed in the last 15 years to have a great relationship with an older gentleman who indeed was born in the same year as my father, the year of 1933, so that tells you how old he is, and Bernie, my friend, will celebrate his 90th birthday in a few weeks' time. And we have coffee together two or three times a month, and we talk to each other about the deep issues of life and stuff that is going on. And so in the last 15 years, that has done me good, and I would pray that it has done him good as well. We both give of ourselves in that relationship because it's important to us. So I'm sure that you could articulate perhaps similar stories in your life as you've journeyed with people. So if we understand this about human relationships, that we benefit by giving of ourselves to them, then what about our relationship with God? What about our relationship with God? If we understand in our human relationships that we benefit by giving ourselves to them, then what about our relationship with God? Are we prepared to put the time into the relationship with God that we would then trust God, that we wouldn't lean on our own understanding, that we would learn God's will in the circumstance of our living, which is the best thing for us? The best thing for us. David, through his relationship with God, had trusted God, and so he wasn't about to question God in regard to the building of the temple, the home for the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God. So knowing God's will starts with relationship with God. That's the first point for us. If we want to know the will of God, we need to be in relationship with God. And building on that this morning, knowing God's will happens when we accept God's word. So we see that the word of God comes to Nathan and then revealed to David, that David accepts the word of God that is shared with him. God is very direct, God is very clear about his will about the building of the temple. 1 Chronicles 17, 4-6 says this: "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their leaders, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Very much get the impression that God is saying to Nathan to tell David that very much that I've set the agenda for David's life all the way through, and I am setting the agenda here. It's made very, very clear that David is not the one to build the temple. And that further instruction is then given so that David will know for sure what the will of God is in regard to this matter. I was reading during the week that David may have been quite emotional about this, although we don't have it there in the scripture. Someone was offering up the commentary that indeed, in regard to this matter, that David may have thought about all the things that God had done for him in his life. How he had taken him from being a shepherd boy, how he had protected him from King Saul, how he had been given the leadership first of the tribe of Judah and now the tribes of Israel, and he's in Jerusalem, that he may have got quite emotional and thought, well, why can't I do this thing? This thing is a good thing. This thing is a good thing. But we can see from the scripture there, this is what the Lord says, you are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. There's a real sense that as God reveals who will build the temple, that what God is planning is leadership succession from the line of David. And if we read on in our scripture a bit further, just to reinforce the point again, that we read this in 1 Chronicles 17:11 to 12. When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. And we know from scripture that indeed Solomon was the one. Solomon was the one. Friends, people look in many places to get direction and instructions for their living. People do this with the big decisions in whatever season of life they're in and in the circumstances that they find themselves in, and they do it in the everyday moments of their living. In other words, people are looking for a compass point. People are looking for direction to their living. Some people read books. I still like reading books. I like reading paper books. I can't get into the whole Kindle thing. I don't know about you. I like to have a bit of book there just in my hands. My wife will tell you I've got far too many books, but that's another story. Some people explore the internet. Some people listen to podcasts. Some people talk over life with a good friend to get a sense of information. Other people might go to an expert in the situation they are facing for guidance, so that they can know the direction that they should go. If we as Christian people understand something of the process of having people and information speaking to our lives, then where does God sit in the hierarchy of our living? Where do we let God speak into our lives, that we accept God's word, that then we would do God's will in how we live? I had one of those moments in our Bible study a few weeks ago, one of those moments of the truth that you know, but it's just reinforced over to you. There's a couple of us who meet for Bible study, and as we met about Bible study, one of our group, a guy named Barry, he reminded us that as he seeks the Word of God, that then God's will for the situation that he's facing in his living is often revealed to him. I'm sure that there would be people here who have found that. So Barry was telling us that as he reads the Word of God every day, that thing that's keeping him awake at night, that thing that he just doesn't know which way that he should turn, what is the right decision, that when he accepts the Word of God, then he knows God's will for his living. So the question comes back to us as to whether we follow the example of David and we accept God's will for us as revealed in the Word of God. Do we do that in our living? David embraced the word of God, which revealed God's will in regard to the house, the building of the temple. And we would read this a lot later on in the book of Chronicles, chapter 28, verses 2 to 3. These words, as confirmation that he has accepted God's will in this matter, he's gathered the officials and leaders of Israel together, and he says this to them. King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my fellow Israelites, my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God. And I made plans to build it. But God said to me, 'You are not. You are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and have shed blood.'" Now, we're not going to look up the scripture passage this morning, but indeed, David gives those plans that he's made, and he instructs Solomon on how then that the temple should be built, and he hands them over. With reference to that last bit of the scripture there, "You are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and have shed blood." David had indeed shed blood in the unifying of the nation. The house of David and the house of Saul did do battle. Solomon ruling a nation that was now united would be a contrast to his father. And Solomon would be known as a king of peace. Knowing God's will means accepting God's word. So as we finish up this morning, friends, if we believe in God for the most important issue that confronts us in life, which is eternal life, if we believe in God's will for that, if we've taken on board the promise of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." If we've taken that on board and we say to God, "Thank you, God, I accept that," then we can trust God to reveal his will to us about the things that confront us in the journey of life. Because if we're prepared to trust God with that big question of eternal life, then we can trust God for his will for our life in the things that confront us. Whatever the season, whatever the circumstance. And from our scripture today, just those 2 points for us to glean and ponder this morning, that we learn God's will for our lives when we, like David, we have a relationship with God. We learn God's will for our lives when we, like David, have a relationship with God, which shows itself as we seek after God in our living. And then, building on that, that we learn God's will for our lives when we accept God's word. So relationship and then acceptance of God's word. Whatever we are considering to do in our lives, let us seek after God's will. For God's way will bring the best result for us. It will bring the best result for the people around us, that we live in the way that God wants us to live by looking for his will. And it will also be good for the kingdom of God that we live in a way that pleases God, that we seek to do the will of God, and we seek after knowing God's will in our lives. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and living as we live every day. And we thank you that you call us to relationship, and you have revealed that to us in Jesus Christ. And as we come and as we live in that relationship every day, our prayer would be that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon us powerfully, and that as we read your word, that we would accept your will for our lives that comes through your word. And that indeed, no matter the season of life, no matter our age, whatever we're doing, the circumstance, that indeed that we would seek after your will for our life. And that we would live lives that reflect the relationship that you call us to, and your word that directs the traffic of our living. So just encourage us to be a people of the word, and we thank you for our time this morning. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.